We're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 1, verse 3 today. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And since we're going to do just one verse, if we end a little early, I'm just letting you know. I'm not intending that to be the case, but just in case you know, so you know. Chapter 1 of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God. And they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Well, like I said, we're just going to cover verse 3 today. It's an interesting verse. It's one of those verses which you don't like to read, because you could put your name, I could put my name in there and do the same thing. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I'll just start out by saying, you know, it's been a rough week for me because I know there's little ways, big ways, whatever in between, and I just don't do what I know God has called me to do. I'm reading something and I don't want to do it, or I want to think something contrary. I think that's true of all of us, because we're all sinners. And we have a tendency, because of sin, to do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. And as we read, you can see what God did when he disobeyed. But we're going to look at, like I said, just this one verse. God had given him three commands. Verse 2, arise, get up. Go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it. He had a simple task. three things: arise, go, cry against the city of Nineveh. Now, we talked about the fact that Nineveh was approximately 500 miles away. It would have taken him weeks and weeks to get there walking, if he walked. Their cry, for their wickedness has come up before me. This was a wicked city. We talked about that previously. That little word, verse 3, but Jonah. Now, in the Hebrew, there's no word for but, as we see here. It's the word, it's normally translated and, but in the context, it can be translated but, or so, or and. And that's in the context, that's exactly what Jonah is doing. He's not doing what God wanted him to do. He's doing the opposite of what God wanted him to do. So the translators translated the word for the underlying Hebrew word for but as but instead of and, because it demonstrates what he did. He didn't do what God wanted him to do. He went against what God wanted him to do. Were there other reluctant messengers of God in the Bible? Yes. Glenn dealt with one. His name is Moses. He was a very reluctant messenger of God. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, he said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He knew where Joshua's heart was. He had been serving under Moses. He was getting ready to lead the people into the promised land. And God comforts him. He encourages him. He exhorts him to do what he asked him to do, what he commanded him to do. He told him to be strong and courageous. Jeremiah balked at God's appointment as a prophet. The Lord said to him, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall do. Do not be afraid of them," that is the people of Israel, "for I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. That's from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And we know what Jeremiah went through. He was imprisoned, not given food like he should have. He was treated very unkindly, very ungraciously. God encouraged him. "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. But Jonah's not doing that. He's not listening at all. He's going to be made to listen, but he doesn't want to listen. So we're going to look at two main things. We're going to look at Jonah's rebellion and Jonah's rebellious act. Like I mentioned, the word "but" in the Hebrew is a word that can be translated a number of different ways. It could be translated "and" or "but," generally, most commonly. But the translators chose "but" because it reflects the contrary thoughts and intent of Jonah. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish. To Tarshish. Now, Tarshish is about 2,000, anywhere from 2,000 to 2,500 miles away from where Jonah's going to be. He's going to go down to Joppa. It would take weeks, it would take months to get there. His purpose was not to go to Nineveh. His purpose was to flee. Now, Tarshish comes from a word which can be understood as speaking of a gem called beryl, B-E-R-Y-L, not B-A-R-R-E-L, just in case. It was known as aqua marine in biblical times. It was a yellowish, green, or bluish crystal. It comes from a Semitic word, the word that's used here, that means to smelt. And that's what they did. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Smelting is where you take some ore, whatever it is, you heat it, you use chemicals to extract usable pure metal, silver, gold, whatever it might be. It was the 10th stone in the fourth row of the high priest's breastplate. The word is used were in the wheels of Ezekiel's vision in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 16. They were like sparkling beryl. Solomon, it says, his hands were pictured as rods of gold set with beryl. The city, Tarshish, was one of the sources of King Solomon's imports. You turn over to 1 Kings chapter 10. Verse 21 says, all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None was of silver. It was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea the ships of Tarshish with ships of Hiram. Once every 3 years the ships of Tarshish came bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. Every 3 years, get a truckload of goodies, peacocks. Peacocks are beautiful. They have a terrible sound, but they're beautiful. Unless you like, you enjoy that. It was famous for its ships. Turn over to Psalm 48. It says there, Psalm 48, pages here. Psalm 48, verse 7, it says, with the east wind you break the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever. The ships of Tarshish were known for being strong, but he's going to break them. He will break them. In Isaiah chapter 2, we also read of Tarshish. I'll read down to from verse 12 down to verse 17. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. And it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, against all the beautiful craft. The pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. So just considering our context, he picks things that people would consider important, valuable, something of great value to them. And one of those was against all the ships of Tarshish. They were vessels, like it said in 1 Kings, every 3 years, ships were coming from Tarshish with goodies, so to speak, for Solomon. They're going to be destroyed. Historically, It is thought that Tarshish related to a people who lived in a region of Spain near Gibraltar. And I'm sure if you've ever looked on a map of Spain and you've seen Gibraltar, it's near there. It's in a place that is also known as Tartessus. It's in the southwest part of Spain. In God's day of reckoning, the ships of Tarshish, it's a picture of proud peoples who will have all the wealth gained by their own wits and power, are among those who will be judged. We read that in Isaiah chapter 12. In a cuneiform inscription in the time of the Assyrians, the Assyrian king Esarhaddon, it spoke of a distant city, Tarshish. It's in Alexander's commentary, if you ever want to look that up. There's actually the word used in Esarhaddon's day. Tarshish, according to Jeremiah 10 and Ezekiel 27, was well known as a source of silver, iron, tin, and lead. And it will be among those who will be judged in the future, as we read in Isaiah chapter 12. So this is the place that Jonah is going to. He's going to go to Tarshish. He's going to flee there. You know, it's wonderful to be able to have places you can go that you have comfort, that you have something you want to enjoy. But if you're going to a place, whether it's well known or not, and it's not what God wants, then it's not going to be a place of joy. It's not going to be a place of satisfaction. It's not going to be a place where you learn something and come to appreciate something. He rose up to flee to Tarshish. And this is the important phrase from the presence of the Lord. You and I, we go places, we do things. We can be somewhere where we know this is the place that God would have us be. We will enjoy whatever it is because we know this is where God would have us be, where He would have us go, what He would have us do when we go there. Jonah wanted to get as far away from the Lord as he could. From one end of the Mediterranean, basically, to the other. Well, what did he do? What was his course of action? And I'm going to come back to that phrase, the presence of the Lord, in a little bit, but right now, just want to proceed here. It says he went down to Joppa. Now, I don't know if, I know Jim has been to Israel. Anybody else, I don't know if you have or not, but when you fly into Israel, you fly into Tel Aviv. And if you take a little journey down on the coast, a little ways, you come to what was known as Joppa. It was, remember now, he lived in Nazareth, so he had to go up in the north part of Israel, down to the south part of Israel on the coast to go to Joppa. Take this ship. Remember, he lived in Gath Hepher, which is near Nazareth. You can go to Nazareth today. And that references 2 Kings 14:25. He was going on the west. It's south of Tel Aviv, like I said, present-day Tel Aviv. It's also mentioned in Egyptian records from the 15th and 14th centuries B.C., scholars think it was actually controlled by the Philistines the last 1,000 years before Christ. It's only mentioned a few times in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 19, verse 46, 2 Chronicles 2:16, Ezra 3:7, and here in Jonah. Well, obviously it was a place known for shipping because here he's going to take a ship. It says he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish. It was probably a regular destination as we have noted previously, for what Tarshish was known for. If Solomon had been sending ships to Tarshish every 3 years, and he reigned for 40 years, I think, that's a lot of goods that he received from Tarshish, silver and gold and other things. It says he paid the fare. We don't know what the fare was, but remember, this is a 2,000, anywhere from 2,000 to 2,500 mile trip. If it was stated in nautical miles, well, actual miles, 2,300 miles to 2,500 miles, or in nautical miles, 2,000 to 2,200 miles. So what might it have cost? Well, that's a interesting question. Let me see if I kept my notes here on that. It would be about a talent, and if I remember correctly, it would have cost nowadays about $85,000 to do that, to make that trip, based upon what he had. Let's see if I got those notes exactly. I don't. He would have spent a lot of money. It says in Jonah there, he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, this is the second time Jonah has mentioned, used this phrase. It's going to be used again. I just want to remind us of something. This, you know, in the Hebrew Bible, words are used in a different way, and you're given an explanation, a translation. It's literally in the face of the Lord. And if you can, you know this, we all know this, we stand and we talk, we sit and we talk with somebody, and we are face to face with that person or those persons. We are just a few feet away from them. It says Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Now, what is the presence of the Lord for us? Well, if we think back in Jonah, it says in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. So did God come to Jonah personally? We don't know for sure, but we do know for sure. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So it appears that what happened was he heard a voice. That voice was God's voice. And that voice said to him, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And two times it says, he rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And it says again, he went down into it, the ship with them, to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord is for us, it's like it was for Jonah, because Jonah didn't see somebody. Jonah didn't have a relationship with the person standing next to him. God spoke to him. And we have something where God has spoken to us a whole lot. He didn't say to us, arise, go to Nineveh, cry against it, for their wickedness is great. He gives us his whole word. And we can do the same thing as Jonah. I've done it, and I'm sure you've done it, and I'm not proud to say I've done it. But as you and I read the word of God, we are, in a sense, in the presence of God, just like Jonah was. Jonah didn't have the presence of God with him, but he had the word of God spoken to him. And we need to be reminded, and back to starting, just going back a step, We need to be reading this every day, all the time. Reading it, studying it, meditating upon it, memorizing it, that the Word of God may be ready on our lips. So when we read Jonah here, what he did, we have to be reminded that the same is true for us. We hear the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We listen to it, maybe in a message or a tape or whatever it might be. And we don't want to be like that person who we flee from the presence of the Lord. God had spoken to him very clearly and simply with a reason. I want you to just consider what the difference is here. Notice he says, arise, first verb, second verb, go, cry against it. Three verbs. Notice Jonah's, the words used with Jonah. He rose up to flee. That was his purpose. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship, which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah rose. His purpose was not to do what God said. His purpose was to get away from God. As it says, Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. He didn't rise up to go to Nineveh. He rose up to flee. And then it says, so he went down to Joppa. And again, if you think about it, he would have been going up north and east of Israel, but it says he went down to Joppa and he found a ship which was going to Tarshish. He looked for something. Yeah, we look for things at times which aren't profitable to us. We spend our time doing things that aren't profitable and they lead us farther away. And it says he paid the fare. He involved himself monetarily to do this. It would not have cost him anything, as far as we know, just to take his walk, so to speak, to go to Nineveh. Now, he would have had to bring something with him, but it wouldn't have cost him much money at all otherwise. And he went down into it. Yeah, we are a people who spend our time. I can say it for myself. I think you can say it too. We have something we hear, and we do something different, and our choice should not be. I'd like to remind us, basically, we have God's word in a written form. Jonah only heard a voice. He only heard God say, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. How does this relate to us? Well, like I said, we have the written word of God here with us. God's general pattern is to speak to someone, not audibly, but in his word, to be reading it, to be studying it, to be meditating upon it. We don't have to wait for God to say something to us like Jonah did. God came to Jonah. We don't have to wait for God to come to us. We have his word here before us. We have the word of God to read. We have it to memorize. We have it to study, to meditate upon. And I'd like to go to the Psalms, Psalm 119 in particular. I'm going to read a lot of verses out here, but I just want us to be reminded of what the writer said. So, in Psalm 119, Verse 1, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of God. There's a lot of verses I could read, but I've just chosen these. Your word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Jonah didn't treasure the word of God, he rejected the word of God. Verse 15 and 16. I will meditate upon your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Jonah didn't regard what God said. He disregarded what said. He said, he didn't delight in God's statutes. He did not remember his word. He turned away from them. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Jonah shut his eyes. He didn't want to hear. He didn't want to listen. He didn't want to do what God told him to do. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Jonah didn't want to be taught. He wanted to disregard what God said. He wanted to flee, in fact, from the Lord. Verse 35 says, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Jonah could have walked 500-600 miles to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to walk. He wanted to ride in a ship to flee away from God to Tarshish. He didn't delight in what God said. He disregarded what God said. Verse 38, establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Jonah did not take what God said as something so important that he couldn't help but do it. He didn't reverence what God said. He disregarded what God said. Verse 47 and 48. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. God gave him three simple commands. Arise, go against it. Go to Nineveh and cry against it. He did not delight in God's commandments. And by implication, according to what is said here, he did not love what God said. He didn't lift up his hands and say, Lord, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. And he did not meditate upon what God said. God said something very simple to him, and he disregarded it completely. Verse 63, I am a companion of all those who fear you and those who keep your precepts. He went down to join a captain and sailors who were going to Tarshish. They weren't people who he knew. He could have a relationship with in the Lord. These people did not fear him. They came to fear him because of what happened on the sea, but they certainly didn't intend to do it otherwise. And they only worshiped him because of their deliverance. We have no idea of what happened later with them. Verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Now, as we'll learn later, Jonah didn't really look at what God did as something that was what was helpful to him and encouraging to him. It was a burden to him. Verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. He knew theoretically that God was good, but he didn't care about what God asked him to do, commanded him to do, and he did not want to be taught by him. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. Verse 77, may your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Now, God was not giving Jonah a law, but he was giving a command. It was not something he delighted in. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. Verse 80. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. If you read the whole book of Jonah in one sitting, which it doesn't take long because it's only four chapters, my heart will be blameless in your statutes. Jonah was constantly butting up against God. He was not a blameless person in that. And therefore, I just wonder what it would be, have been like when he got all finished. Was he ashamed or was he glad he went through that experience? I don't think he was glad he went through that experience. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God had told him to rise, go up, and cry against Nineveh. His word is settled. This is what God gave him to do. But Jonah didn't want to do that. He fled from that. It wasn't settled for Jonah. It was up in the air. He could do whatever he wanted. Verses 92 and 93. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. God's word was not his delight. And he will, in a sense, perish by being swallowed up by that great fish. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I don't think that was Jonah's situation, and I have to admit there are times when that's not my situation. But we need to delight, love his law. Verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Jonah heard what God commanded, but he rose up and fled from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to listen. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to get away from what God had told him. Verse 104, for your precepts I get, from your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Those commands were very clear. Arise, go to Nineveh, cry against it. They weren't something that required a lot of thinking. Just listen to what God said, do what God says, and that's where we get our understanding. When we listen to him and we know what he wants us to do and we do it, we have an understanding that goes beyond ourselves, because we're simply doing what God says, and it gives us direction and wisdom in what we do. And the last part of that verse, therefore, I hate every false way. Jonah didn't hate doing what God did not want him to do. He, in a sense, loved what he was doing, which was against the Lord. Verse 113, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. He didn't love God's law at this point in time. Psalm 119, verse 116. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Jonah, even to the end, was unashamed of his standing against God. He questioned him to the very end. Verse 125. I am your servant. Give me understanding, that I may know your testimonies. Jonah was a servant. The prophets were servants. Jonah did not want to be a servant. And therefore, he didn't have understanding. And he really didn't know the testimonies of the Lord because of that. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. His understanding, his perception of God's word was not gold, but gravel, dirt, not something precious. Verse 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. He gives understanding to the simple. God's words were simple to Jonah. He would have had understanding. And you especially see that at the end of Jonah in chapter 4. It's like his mind was way over here instead of where it should have been with the Lord. And it's demonstrated here, obviously, in the verse that we looked at today. Psalm 119, verse 133. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Jonah's purpose to flee from God essentially kept him from having a desire to walk in the footsteps of the Lord and to be free of any sin. He chose to do exactly the opposite of what God told him to do. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright and upright are your judgments. God is righteous. We think we're righteous. Jonah thought he was righteous. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He was wrong. Your word is very pure, Psalm 119:140. Therefore, your servant loves it. God's word came to him personally, but he didn't love it. He wanted to reject it and turn away from it. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. God gave him what was righteous, the right thing to do. His law is truth. His word is truth. But Jonah rejected it as truth. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Verse 144. Jonah didn't gain understanding. He lost understanding because he chose to do what was the opposite of what God told him to do. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. Verse 147. Jonah we don't have all the details, but it's like Jonah just got up, he heard, and he fled down to Joppa so he could flee to Tarshish. He didn't cry for help. He didn't rise before dawn. He didn't wait for God's word. He fled from God's word. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. He had a personal encounter with God by his word, but he didn't consider what God said as true. He rejected them. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. That's what Jonah should have been saying. Plead my cause. I'm not wanting to do what you want me to do. I'm begging you to help me, redeem me, revive me according to your word. He didn't. That wasn't his desire at all. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Verse 156. He's not going to be thankful for God's mercy. God is God is going to show mercy on these people, and Jonah doesn't want mercy to be shown upon these people. He doesn't understand mercy at all. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Jonah didn't love his precepts. He didn't seek to be revived according to his loving kindness. He didn't take his word as truth. He fled from that. He did not listen. He did not want to listen. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. Well, it's just the opposite. He loved and cherished falsehood, and he did not love his law. He did not want to listen. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Verse 165. There was no peace for Jonah, and he stumbled. He stumbled all the way, even to the end. Verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. If Jonah didn't understand what God said, he should have cried out to him and said, Lord, I really don't understand why you're having me do this. I don't understand why you would have me go to Nineveh and speak to these people and cry against them. I think it's best if I just go a different way. He didn't seek understanding. He didn't cry out to God. 171. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. God gave a righteous commandment. Arise, go to Nineveh, cry against it. He did not consider God's commandment as a righteous commandment. I long for your salvation, O Lord. And your law is a delight, is my delight. Jonah didn't long for his salvation, and his law was not his delight. I've read all these verses, I want you just to think. He rose up and fled from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, found a ship, paid the fare, went into it. One string, starting with turning away from the Lord, led him to go down and into that ship. And he's going to sleep. He's going to be at peace sleeping in that ship. He's going to be at peace in his sin for a while. But then he will soon find out what it's really like. I'm sorry, I'm actually going over a little. Yeah, let me pray, and if you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jonah. I know I'm certainly like a Jonah lots of times. Each of us are. Help us, Lord, to take your word and be obedient to it, because by being obedient to it, we are being obedient to you, and we are showing our love for you and our delight to do your will. Help us to rise up and to cling to you and to desire to do what is pleasing and honoring to you, not what is pleasing and honoring to ourselves or for ourselves. And I thank you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.